from you will be embedded in our hearts, and that we will put them to practical use in the mission field out in the world. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Well, I'm still emotionally recovering from what just took place. Like Reggie said, there is something has begun that we're actually starting to understand. That we're starting to see, realize. I think God has moved in and among us in so many different ways over all these different years, and I think we're probably ready to be able to understand some things in a deeper way, in a better way, more sensitive to one another, more sensitive to other people outside the church. I think I'm like Reggie, although I don't have as much hair as his to stand up.
Not much.
But to really be in such awe of what the Lord really is doing. I know we always want these very grand things to be happening, big miraculous things like we think of with miracles. But the miracle that Julie was talking about, that there's a miracle right there, and it is awesome.
Yes.
And to be able to, as little human people, to be able to understand and to see that the power that is there for these kinds of things to happen, you know, is tremendous. So I know that last year that overarching theme was about piercing the darkness, you know, that we were going to that the light was going to begin to break through in areas of darkness in ourselves, and the power of the enemy was not those shackles, those break every chain concept that song that Jesus Culture sings. Fantastic stuff, and it's really interesting that you can look now, you can see, you can understand, hey, this is really happening.
Yes.
You know, in a better way, bigger way than what we've seen before. I think we've missed a lot of things the Lord's been doing inside of ourselves. I've really noticed, you know, and at the beginning of this year, that theme that I felt the Lord speaking to us was, you know, we're going to be a people of vision this year. We're going to be able to see things.
Yes.
And that's dealing with understanding, seeing something, what God is doing, understanding what God is doing, being able to hear what He has to say, you know, this listening thing that we've already heard a little bit today. So there's lots of things that are happening, and boy, you start piecing together things that have come in messages and things that are happening in your life. Yeah?
Yes.
And you go, wow, this is real. God really has this thing wired, doesn't He?
Yeah.
And we can relax in a time of stress. These days of stress, you know, it's getting more stressful in the world,
yes,
not less. And I think I'm starting to feel more relaxed. Isn't that funny? You know, you would expect that.
That's a miracle.
That's a miracle. That's a miracle. When we were singing, he is the God that healeth me. This is what came. I started to cry because I know that He is healing me about being such a worrier. I worry a lot. And it's a It's an amazing thing to not even have noticed that so much about me. I kind of knew that I was a little bit of a worrywart about things. I overthink things. I let the enemy take a thought and takes me down a dark path, you know? And I'm way, way down the road before I realize that that's where I am. Now that has slowly been changing. And I'm sure that in your life, whether you see it or not, at this point, God has done the same thing to you. You're not so far down the road as you used to be before you've noticed something about yourself or what the enemy's doing or what God is doing. There's positive, good things. Sometimes we just miss that, don't we? Because we don't have eyes to see in that spirit, in a spiritual kind of way, the way we need to. And those are things we need to pursue. Now, last week, the message was about times of stress. You know, the world, it's getting worse. We need to be able to understand that. We talked about what stress is. After the mass, after the service last week, Reggie and I were talking about how just, you know, what a fantastic service it was, and I think it was really more what the women brought back from their women's retreat. But God was there, and it was a sweet spirit, sweet spirit, and I surely loved it and got something from it. Steve had said something to me about we could really hear some more about this message on times of stress, and there was just something when he said it. I'm like, yeah, I think that was right from the Lord. So we're going to continue talking about stress. Now, don't get stressed out.
Okay. Carol's not here.
Carol's not here, so she won't get stressed out from talking about stress. But you know, it's going to be something as we continue to talk about this that hopefully the Lord just opens our eyes about. And start out what the Lord wants us to hear today. You know, I hope that we have listening ears, and that when you hear things that are spoken, not only from whoever is speaking today and when we get together on a Sunday, but do you really listen to your spouse? Do you listen so that when they're saying something to you that you know, hey, wait a minute, that's the Lord speaking to me. You know? I get this all the time from Kathy. She says things to me and I think about it and I go, that was God speaking to me. You know, we have to have listening ears. So, you know.
You never know who's listening to you, too.
That's right. Yeah. Wow. Would you turn? Did I tell you where to go yet?
No.
You don't want me to tell you where to go, right? Philippians chapter 4. Well, where I tell you to go would not be where the world would tell you to. We are, because of our nature, I think, consistent on a pretty large scale, have to deal with pressure, stress. And that comes because things don't go according to the way we want it to go. Are you under stress when everything goes your way?
No.
It's a horrible thing. So you're under quite a bit of stress. You know, we're under quite a bit of stress. And I think stress, pressure comes when things aren't going the way we want it to go. It's, you know, you're a student. You're going to take a test. If you're not prepared, you feel some pressure, don't you? You know? There's things that happen where you want things to go a certain way, and if they're not going the way that you want, there's some pressure in your life. And I think Elaine was mentioning, or started to say last week, there's some good things about pressure in your life. Pressure, stress, can cause certain things to happen inside of you. And it can take you in one direction or that's good. That can take us toward God.
Yeah.
Or it takes us in a different direction, away from God. And I think that's really important to understand that there is something good about pressure, and God uses that. In fact, God has created us in such a way that He's given us these hormones in our body, that when pressure comes into our life, that these hormones released. That's the word. These hormones are released. Now, there are two hormones that are released in our bodies when we're under stress, and that's cortisol and adrenaline. Okay, adrenaline and cortisol. Okay, I don't know what cortisol does.
It's a natural anti-inflammatory. So what happens is it. When you stress yourself, it gets rid of inflammation out of your body. The problem is if you have chronic stress, the cortisol level never drops down, and what happens is it causes muscle breakdown. Yeah. Muscle breakdown along with increased fat deposit and calcification of your arteries and stuff like that. So it's great for short term. So if you fall down and get back up and you're like, ooh, I hurt my leg. Cortisol gets released. It's short term. It helps get rid of the inflammation. You heal your body and then you go on. But in our culture, what happens is we're under stress so much that we're firing off the cortisol level all the time. So that's bad. So that's the good and bad of everything, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with adrenals. Adrenals can ramp you up. So if you need to be excited, like if a car is coming towards you and you need to get out of the way, it's awesome. You know, it gives you the power to do that.
Yeah.
It gives you the awareness in your mind to make quick decisions. But what happens is if those are firing for long periods of time too, is they become ineffective. You no longer get that same feeling. Mm-hmm. And then when they drop, you get exhausted. So the good and bad of all the chemicals.
Yes.
Those two make it.
When the adrenaline and cortisol get put into your body, this is a natural process.
Yeah.
God put it there.
Right.
It's there because God constructed us so that we would have the chemical ability for our physical bodies to be able to respond to the way we're going to approach something, right? And I think it's important that this is adrenaline, I guess. Maybe it's the combination. It's this fight or flight response that all animals have. Animals have this fight or flight a response when they're under stress, when they feel that they're cornered, when they feel that they're under attack, All animals have that, and humans also have this fight or flight response that gets amped up when more adrenaline's flowing through your system. And this happens when you're under stress. Now, there's also another characteristic that comes. I know this is a little bit academic here, but I think it's important to lay the right kind of foundation. There is another characteristic, and that is, I was just reading this morning. It's fight, flight, or freeze. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like an animal, like these chipmunks around the house. You know, they're sitting there and they're eating, and I happen to walk by and they see me, and they just, like, I'm not going to see them. But they're frozen, right? That's their response. They don't attack my leg. And they don't always run away. Most of the time they run away. It's flight for them. But they're certainly not going to fight somebody that's way bigger than them. But unless they have rabies or something. But this is a freeze mechanism. And I think I'm going to get back to that particular thing, because I think we find a lot of times, when we're under stress, we don't know what to do, and we don't do anything.
Right.
Yeah. And we have to recognize that. See, we have to see that about ourselves. We have to understand that, hey, I'm not doing anything here.
And I know you made that too, Malcolm. Go ahead. You ever see it like the squirrels? I mean, the squirrels come running out in front of your car, right? Mm-hmm. And what do they do? Instead of just keep going, right? Or turn around and go back the other way.
Yeah.
They stop right where you're going to hit them.
Right where the tire is.
So that's a bad situation, right? I mean, it's like you say in your head, you're like, why didn't you just keep going? Why didn't you turn around and go back the other way? No, they stop.
Right,
dangerous way.
I usually say, that stupid squirrel, why didn't you go turn around?
Nobody wants to hit it.
Go ahead.
A couple of years ago, right up here where the deer come across that little pond.
Oh, yeah.
There was a wildcat came across the field, and then he was going to go to the river, but then he decided to go down the road towards the pond. And he crossed the pond, and it came up over the banking. And I was there at the meeting. With my camera. And he like crouched down, you know, like you said, you don't see me, you don't see me, you don't see me. I'm not here.
Yeah.
I said, oh, okay, I don't see you, but we'll take some pictures of you and I will scram before you attack me.
I think this is something, can you all see me here? I know I'm short and sitting down makes me even shorter, but You know, I think this thing about the freezing up and, you know, pretending you can't be seen or whatever, there's more of that happens in our life than we want to admit to. I think I'll hold off. I was going to start on that, but I won't. In Philippians, let's go there. I want to straighten out something that I think can be confusing for Christians who actually read their Bibles about something here that's in the verses I read last week. So we're in Philippians chapter 4, and it's verses 6 through 8. Philippians 4, 6 to 8. Says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And because you do that, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true and whatever things are honest and whatsoever things are just and are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's important for us, you know, sometimes I think Christians feel like, well, we shouldn't be thinking about the bad things that are happening in the world. Let's just think about all the good things that are happening. And if that was the case, if that's what this was actually saying, then you would never address and understand, be able to see what is going on in the world. You have to be able to do that, right? This is talking about in here. I just want to make sure that we understand this. We're not ostriches putting our heads in the sand and saying everything's okay. Let me just think about this nice thing and that nice thing and this nice. No. What we are people that can see what's happening, face reality, and then, with all of that, do what what was talked about earlier. We engage God into our life in those situations, and that is the positive thing, because we know God can turn all things to good for those who love Him. We know that He will give us the strength, the wisdom, the whatever that we need. It's with His wings that we'll be covered, and we can find our refuge, right?
Yes.
It's putting our mind into a positive attitude about the rotten, stinking way that things are. Where most people go wrong, most of us, all of us, go wrong, is what was talked about by the ladies last week, the stinking thinking.
Yes.
Right? We allow the circumstances to control the way that we think, right? We take something that's happened and we go down the dark path with it, only thinking about the bad things that can come out of it, right?
Right.
Instead of seeking God, believing in Him, trusting in Him, that's a big thing, isn't it? Because when I'm worried, when I'm anxious, when I'm fretting over something, it's because things aren't going the way I want it to go, even when it's good things that I want to go well, you know? And it doesn't look like that's happening. I'm not trusting God.
Right.
Now, am I? That really creamed me when that thought actually broke through into my understanding. I'm not trusting You, Lord. How horrible is that? Because I know that our God is greater, our God is stronger, you know, our God is higher than any other. Right?
Yes.
So what am I allowing all of that to happen? Now, we're going to get frustrated about things. We're going to be disappointed. We're going to have all of those emotional things happen to us because of our humanness. But it really becomes, how long do we live in the dark on that?
Right.
And not give it over to God? Because we find that it isn't like stress disappears. We're going to have stress. It's how we react to the stress. And are we going to be children of light in our reaction to the pressures of this life? And really as we see things going on, to the terrors of this life? Or are we going to have a godly response or not? It's in our response. Because we are going to feel. That is going to happen. And we've got to learn, we're going to talk about this, you know, just cutting those thoughts off. Because it's the thought. It really is at the thought level where all of this changes for us. Yeah, you want to say something?
It just so happens that this past week, what I was asked to present about to our staff was all about the brain and all about, you know, neurochemicals and our brain's response to trauma and stress. And that's why I was dying there last week when I had to leave, as you were talking about stress. And I just think about, that was one of my biggest fears, is to speak publicly in front of people, and this fear of not my God, but this fear of people and what they were going to think, and my peers, and if I got tongue-tied at all, what they were going to think of me, that I wouldn't know what I was talking about. And I got down on my knees. I've said this to several of you, and thank you so much for praying for me last week, but I got down on my knees the day before the presentation and just said, God, I give it to you. Like, my brain, my intellectual stuff can't save me here, only you can. And the next day, I got up and I presented for 2.5 hours, and I only got through half of my presentation on trauma and hyperarousal and hypoarousal in the brain and all of this.
Excellent.
And for the 2 weeks up to the prank, she was in a cortisol bath in her brain. She was in that fight or flight mode for a good 2 or 3 weeks.
It was absolutely horrendous. But I keep telling John that if God gives me the ability someday, that I swear I'm going to write a book on this. Because this is not coincidence that, you know, as I'm studying this and studying neuroscience in the last 20 years of what we've learned about the brain, and really it only hasn't been about 20 years, is that we have, and it's not just by chance, we're made by the Lord. Yes. We have this amazing ability, this biological ability in our mind to open up. There are 7 systems of the brain, and we have this amazing ability to open up the care systems and the seeking systems and all these beautiful parts of the brain. But as people in this world and with the media and what they show on TV and how they show it, we need to know how to discern and use discernment and when to shut it off. When that's Satan trying to create fear within our bodies.
You know? Yes.
And how much of that stuff our children are seeing in school, and they're coming to school with too much cortisol and too much adrenaline and too much of that stuff in their mind. And we know from science that they can't think through that. But anyway, what I was just one point that I really wanted to make was that one of these neuroscientists said, we have in our mind the most beautiful drugstore if we can just access each part. The most beautiful drugstore, and we're going for drugs, we're going for these things on TV that says, are you depressed? Do you need this? Do you need Prozac? Do you need this? And what shuts down when our body goes into fight, flight, freeze, and we have that cortisol bath over our forebrain, and that's all of that, you know, mammalian museum, our basic parts of our brain where, you know, the crocodile can only respond in fight, flight, freeze, and we are the only mammal created in his image that actually can think to try to shut that off.
Yes. Yeah.
But what we've proven in the last 20 years, and this is the amazing part, I find, like, how can there be no God? The most amazing part is that how we actually shut that part of the brain off is by activating the care systems of the brain. The dopamine, the serotonin, the oxytocin. Those are called love chemicals. Those are love chemicals. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And what does God tell us? You know, it's all about love and His love for us and seeking that first. And that's what shuts that crap off in our brain. And I just said, oh my God, somebody's got to write about this. Is that a coincidence, you know?
Yeah, that's not a coincidence.
That's just amazing. And so there's me in front of 25 staff members going, you know, on the verge of tears several times and just going, our kids are coming to school traumatized. Our kids are coming to school having watched so much, you know, people's throats being sliced on TV, people being stabbed and all of this disgusting stuff that they don't need to see. And they're coming to school traumatized. And guess what, guys? Our only way to calm their system is by first calming ours. And by the way, the only way, the reason I'm up here is because of my God, because yesterday I was on the floor, like John said, like feeling like I was going to vomit and have diarrhea, you know what I mean? Because I was so cortisol washed and stressed and everything. And by the way, the only way you're going to calm our kids is by this loving, kind relationship with them. And that's what neuroscience is showing. That's how we calm the body. Love. Wow. Where does love come from? Isn't that amazing?
That's awesome. That is awesome.
Yeah. It's just so cool. So cool.
We need to.
You know, that brings another matter up when we hear this, is love covers it all.
Yes.
The Bible says love covers it all. And I just want to get back to one thing. When Scott Blanchett came to my mind last year, I had this overwhelmingly love in my heart for that man.
Yes.
And I tried frantically to get hold of him. I wanted to express that love to him as a mother would her child.
Mm-hmm.
And something in me wanted to do that so bad, I was just crying.
Yes.
And that boy would not answer my calls. That hurt, but I know it was just such a difficult thing. But there it is. The love that a mother has for a child, the love that that man needed at that moment, I'm sure, is what God is trying to give us. The love that we share with others. That's God sharing.
Yes.
It's just a bond, you know? He puts that in our hearts.
And I think another thing that's amazing is your child is reaching out to his child. And what a burden he has put on himself.
Mm-hmm.
And if she hadn't listened to him and loved him last night, he wouldn't have been able to release that burden. And she was listening to God to do that. And it's so amazing to me, the more I hear about medicine and science, the more you get into it, the more it proves that there is a God. You know, people are trying to prove scientifically that there isn't a God. And the more you get into it, you cannot explain it except for a creator. You cannot.
Right.
You cannot. It was planned right down to the last moment.
Shut that system down. That system that hurts, that kills, that makes people angry. Those are the people in prison, the people whose cortisol, adrenaline systems are on hyper arousal, and that's all they've had was the cortisol baths in their brain. But love cures all.
Yes.
It does. God cures all.
When I was hugging Zach last night, his girlfriend, Courtney Dumont, which is Barbara Young, who grew up with my daughter, is a sweet thing. She didn't know what was going on, like, because he was hugging me for so long and sobbing for so long. She came over and she said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Yeah." So she stood up and she listened for a minute. And she looked at me and she goes, I never knew. Like, she's mouthing, "I never knew." They've been together almost 2 years. So then I whispered in his ear, I said, "Scott, have you shared this with anyone?" And he goes, no. And I took his little face and I said, "It's done. It is done. You're done suffering."
Yeah. And God bless you for your work, Julie. God bless you. But to see this innocent child suffering, I thought, Satan, you get out of this child. And I might have even prayed that. I don't know. I was hugging him so hard, I don't know what I prayed. I just prayed. I don't even know, but he just hugged me tighter, and I think I was saying, "It is done, it is done. You let this, you release this, you let it go. This had nothing to do with you. We love you, we love your faith." You know, it was just, I thought, Satan, how dare you? How dare you stay in this child's mind? You know, when I just read this little thing here, it says, "Thinking about what you are thinking about is very valuable, because Satan usually deceives people into thinking that the source of their misery or trouble is something other than what it really is." And that was it with Zachary. He wants them to think they are unhappy due to what is going on around them, their circumstances. But the misery is actually due to what is going on inside of them and their thoughts. And that's what happened with Zach, and that's what's happening with Scott. And probably the whole family, I don't know, but he took on this that I didn't want him around my children, that I didn't want, and I thought, I've hugged that child anytime I've seen him. Scott, I've hugged it, you know, I thought, but like Steve said, we assume because we dropped the charges that they knew that we were giving them. It's not there. Mm-hmm. It's not there, but these are the thoughts within this family that are not born again Christians. So we've got to pray for a breakthrough in their minds that, you know, that God can create the most wonderful
thing
of all.
In the teaching field, because we deal with learning and thoughts, to think about what you're thinking is called metacognition. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the points I wanted to talk about. And hopefully we've already started talking about this whole concept, is that you do have to think about what you're thinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was one of the things in here I was going to say. So, you know, this is the Lord speaking here. There's confirmation that's being brought out here about, and the Lord wants you to think about how you think and what you're thinking. Because lots of times it isn't the thoughts that are coming from God. It's coming from your own analysis, or it's coming from that other place, that dark place. And the more we've become accustomed to some of those thoughts, we think they are ours. We think that this is the natural way of thinking about particular situations, and then we get trapped in it.
Right.
It does become bondage.
Yes.
We become shackled because that's the only way that we think about things, because we're not thinking about what we're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a really, really important thing, and it goes right along with this whole concept of stress. I love this thing about the dopamine and all of that, and that's the love chemicals, and that's what shuts down the animal part of your brain, you know, the mammalian section level of your brain. That love is what does that. And I want to say that love doesn't just happen, okay? This is key, because it comes back to where I wanted to go about thought. You have to make a choice. It is a thoughtful choice to love or not to love. When something happens to you, I'm going to love them anyway. Well, that's a thought.
Yes.
That opens makes you turn in a particular direction in terms of action. You got it? Thoughts are what points us in the direction we're going to go in, right? So it's very important to know what you're thinking and think about what you're all thinking. Wait a minute, does this make any sense? What does the scripture say about how I'm thinking right now? Does that make... Am I really following the right path here in my mind?
Yes.
That relieves a lot of stress. You know, when you connect with God, like it says, and the peace that passes understanding, you know, is going to fill your heart and your mind. That's what does happen when we actually make that connection, where we actually think about what we're thinking, and we identify with the Lord, with the Lord's thoughts. It's really pretty simple, but it's kind of like, what? What are you talking about? Is life that complicated? Yes and no. Oh, how am I going to be able to, how am I going to think about what I'm thinking? Well, it's really easy. You think about what you're thinking.
It's reflective.
You slow down this god-awful rush toward, you don't even know where you're going by the end of the day.
That's right.
You know, you're all caught up in all this stuff, and this is a ploy of the enemy, really, to get our minds going. And, well, I got to do this, and I got to do that. Remember last week we were talking about how you could be awakened in the middle of the night, and your mind's just going 17,000 miles an hour, right?
Yes. My mother writes notes by her bed in the middle of the night. So, yeah.
No, it's usually when I first go to bed, I have a notepad there, and I think of something, and I think if I don't write it down tomorrow,
you're going to forget. Us older people, we have an excuse for that. We'll forget.
After you write it down, you didn't write it down. You
was
thinking
about
it.
You were nervous about it.
But doesn't this happen to us? You know, young and old. That our minds can really just get on a thing. We need to slow this down. I want to take us to something here that I wanted to get to 20 minutes ago. But
This is beautiful. You know how beautiful this is?
Yes.
That we are all, and I think we all, we talk about this a lot, you know, and it's open to speak.
Yes.
And this is what is, yeah, what is called body ministry. The scripture in Ephesians 4, I think it's verse 17 or 18, it says, and the body grows as every joint supplies. The more that we're engaged and people are either ministering through what they say or what they sing or how they act or those acts of kindness, you know, that all builds up the body, doesn't it? It's body ministry. It's not one person ministry. It isn't up to the pastor. In fact, we know that that's not even biblical to have one pastor. That's why we have four. You know that?
Yes.
We didn't just decide we're going to have four pastors. The scripture says that there were to be ordained in every church pastors. Plural. It's important for a body to have more than, you know, so one person doesn't get too full of himself. All right, now.
Malcolm,
could
I just say something on forgiveness? And that it's a two-way thing. We have to ask for forgiveness, but we also have to accept it.
Yes.
That's like Christians coming and saying, well, or before you accept the Lord for his power, his awesome power of forgiveness of sins, people feel that they've done such horrible things that God's not going to forgive them, so thus they don't want to come to church. They're turned off by that or whatever.
Yeah.
But in the same token, when you get somebody, we'll use the Blanchettes as an example. They are running because they don't feel they're worthy of forgiveness.
Yeah.
They feel that the sin that they have caused to this other family, being the Holtz, that even though they're saying, we forgive you, you know, they can't deal with that because they can't accept forgiveness because they don't know how to accept it. So they're in that flight mode. Mm-hmm.
They're holding themselves in bondage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they only knew that all of us have had to accept that forgiveness, knowing that what Jesus did on the cross, we're all guilty of putting him there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not one of us
deserves.
That.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
That's an important point. Okay. You don't have to turn to it. I'm going to read this scripture, but those of you that are writing things down, it's Proverbs 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. You know, I know why you're laughing. And he that rules his spirit is better than he that takes a city. Now, remember earlier, at the very beginning of the message, I said that my wife says things to me, and I, not everything she says, let's get that. I want to put that down too, but lots of things that she says to me, I go, I sense the Lord, you know, getting at me through my wife, you know, and she said this to me after just a very short outbreak at the TV, and she said it in a good way too. It wasn't. You know, better is he that's slow to anger. No, she didn't say it in a smart aleck way to me. She quoted the scripture to me, and when she said that to me, I went, "That's right." But as I thought about it, see, I didn't just hear that and say, "Oh, okay, this deals with with this one little tiny incident." No, God was saying, "I just gave you something to bring out in the message." Right? Mm-hmm. So this was for all of us. You see. It is important for us to be in control, to direct our thoughts. And more than you and I really realize, we're not as much in control of our thoughts as we think we are. I've noticed this over the course of, especially the last few months. Wow, I really need to change the way I think. I've got to know what I am thinking. I've got to think about what I'm thinking. Right? And get rid of the stinking thinking. Get rid of the worry, anxious stuff that goes nowhere, that only brings you into a dark place. Does anybody here want to live in a dark place? You enjoy all that, you know? I mean, come on, nobody wants that. Well, then we have to think. We have to see, oh, wait a minute, this thinking leads me there. I don't want to go there. I have to stop. I have to be in control of my spirit. I have to be in control of my attitude. I have to be in control of my thoughts. No, I'm not going to allow that thought to control me. I turn away from that. And that whole thing that Melinda said at the beginning of, you know, declaration, you've got to declare that to yourself. You know that. Because the enemy has had you in certain places. And when you go, oh, geez, I shouldn't be thinking that way. How strong is that? The enemy's going to go, oh, no, I guess I better leave now. The enemy isn't going to be that, you know, that wishy-washy. They're going to come back. Have you noticed evil people, they don't give up in their evil. They get pushed off to the side. They'll find a way to come back a different way. They do. Because that's what the enemy does. You get rid of something in your life, and that enemy will stay away for a while. But he's looking, he's lurking, and he's going to try to find a way to get back in there. Just one little tiny opening, and he's going to take it. And where you thought you had some victory, all of a sudden, bam, that's starting up again. Yeah? I'm not the only one, right? Please help me. This is what happens. And those things do bring all this stress, let alone what comes from the outside world. You know? Somebody had a hand up. Oh, see.
A couple of things. One, you know, the stress and the adrenaline and all that stuff. You need it to live.
Yes, you do.
Too much can kill you.
Yes.
Not enough can kill you.
Right? Yes.
You have to have the balance. And I remember one time there was a moose that got caught in some wire up Chickawalaby Road. And we went up there to check it out. And you could smell the adrenaline.
Yeah.
And the moose killed himself. And the area that he was in, that he was able to move in, it looked like a bush hog had come in there and just wiped everything out. Trees were broken up into little pieces. It was all like a chip of his head. He killed himself.
Yeah.
You know, because of, like,
the adrenaline.
Stop and think about things, you know.
Yeah.
You think about what you're thinking. Well, let's see, maybe I can wait here. Maybe someone's going to come and cut the wire and I can take off. But and the second thing is, this is like a confession. Basically, my whole career as a teacher and a coach, 34 years, was spent living on a high. That's the only way I could get through. You know, up doing chores, changing, showering, eating breakfast, going to school, teaching all day, dealing with all kinds of issues, coaching at night, getting on a bus, going somewhere, coming back, doing chores, going to a game that one of the three boys had, or three games, or whatever it may be. And I think part of it was when I married Melinda, because my blood pressure went from 150 over 90 to 120 over 70. But when I retired, well, in fact, I could have my BP taken at 2:30 in the afternoon after a horrendous 120 over 70. But when I retired from teaching, my blood pressure went up. Mm. I've never had blood pressure problems during that 34 years. But now my body is, I mean, I don't know enough about it because I'm not a doctor, but my body is trying to adapt because I don't need this high anymore. So I've been struggling physically. And actually, I have a friend who was a relative of ours, who was a state trooper. And it took him 6 years to recover from, wow, when he retired. That's actually Janice's son-in-law. But so I'm thinking, well, maybe that's going to be me. And maybe I got to go another 3 years before I can fully recover. You know, physical issue. I've had all kinds of physical issues and stuff. And it's like, what's going on? I think my body is trying to heal from living on that high for over half my life. You know, so that's a confession. You can pray for me because I like it. I mean, I like retirement. Well, from teaching, I miss the connection with people, but it's a nice life. But I'm healing.
Your body's not catching up to what you're...
No. Yeah. It's getting there. But
yeah, it's a new way of thinking.
Yeah.
He's learning to rethink the ways he was thinking before that maybe.
Yeah. I wrote a message this morning at 2 o'clock. On the gifts and the fruits of the spirit and stuff, because I couldn't sleep.
You've been hanging around with your
mother-in-law. Yeah, I know. Could you imagine if I was married to someone like that?
Oh my God.
I'd be up all night writing notes. It's a good thing I got a car.
I did the same thing, Steve, last week. I was up at 2:30 in the morning. I went back to bed at 4:45.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's nice to be able to do that, you know, because you don't have to get up at 5 o'clock and go get on a bus or whatever, but anyway.
Okay. I want to take us to a different level, if you can hear it. You ready?
Yeah.
You haven't had enough yet. You still have enough room inside your head for some more, right? I've mentioned this scripture not too long ago. And I want us to realize that all of the things that we do go through, it is for us in a personal kind of way where we're growing as a person in Christ. And so there is that aspect that it is for us to experience and learn how to get through this and become a better person in Christ. But I also want to say that all that we go through is for some higher purpose. Mm-hmm. You get that? This is important for you to know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
And for me to know.
Preparation.
There's a higher purpose.
Yes.
For all of the stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. In our lives right now. And you've heard this before. This is, you don't have to turn to it, I'll just read it. This is Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. Says this: if you have run with the soldiers and you have been worn out, how will you contend with the cavalry or with the horses? It says, if you're having trouble not getting weary with some things that are happening in your own life, what if the world starts invading your life in a bigger way? Mm. How will you contend with that if you can't handle the little bits of pressure? And this is more so American Christians than others, because other Christians in other parts of the world, they're experiencing persecutions and killing and all of the bad words, the bad things that we don't even want to think about, you know. And Heather mentioned, you know, made some mention to that, you know, about, you know, getting your, you know, all that stuff happening. And they have to deal with that. And we think in America that we're immune to that. That'll never happen here. And that's not true. And you and I need to not want that reality, but we need to understand that it is a reality that's coming to this country. And we need to be people who will be able to know how to run with those horses. And not be fearful. And not need drugs to get us to handle a situation. No. We are going to be able to be something for other people. We're going to be light to a dark world. That isn't going to happen. I know Rich isn't here today, but he doesn't like me to say, God is not going to take a magic wand and then just change us. That isn't how God changes us. We turn to Him. Right?
Right.
We turn from sin and we turn to Him. And things start making big changes in our life. That's what happens. Doesn't it? And so we need to think about the way we're thinking so that we don't keep thinking that way. God isn't going to just take the thoughts out. We have to cry out to Him, God, I know that I'm anxious too much. I'm not talking into you. I have to say, I've got to talk to God, see what the way I am, and say, God, please help me to change. Give me the strength. Give me your spirit. Give me what it takes for me to change. I don't want to be thinking like this anymore. I don't want to be acting that way anymore. And as time goes by, it happens. You look back and you go, oh, wait a minute. I'm not thinking like that anymore. When did that happen? That's what you know that God's worked in your life. You know? That's a great thing. It's a miraculous thing. So, there is something about where it's personal and we have a self-interest maybe in thinking better so that we're not under all this stress and all of that. But it is for something greater.
Yes.
It's so that we will be children of light to minister to a darkened world.
Yes.
That's what it's really ultimately there for other people besides ourselves. And I have this written down. I don't think I even really need to go to it, but I'm going to. That's everybody knows this scripture inside and out. If I can just get there. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and I'll conclude with this. For our God, our great and wonderful, strong, powerful, awesome God, has not given us, this is 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love, and what?
A sound
mind. To have a sound mind means that you are thinking about what you're thinking.
That's right.
And that you are giving those thoughts over to God. Resting in His love and allowing His love to flow through you. That's what happened with Julie.
Yes.
That is what's going to change the world. That not only changes you, because you now have changed your stupid way of thinking and feeling and opened up to God, you're now going to change somebody else in this life. Isn't that a great thing?
Yes.
You know, the love of God will pour forth. And I think that's the thing that's happening that Reggie and I were saying afterwards. wow, there's something going on here. What is this?
Yeah.
What, there, you could, right? We, I mean, I couldn't put my finger exactly what it was, but I think that's what it is. It's this whole thing about our thoughts and the love of God beginning to take greater control of who we are as